So I welcome all of you to the Thursday discussion. Actually, we were conducting this discussion, English discussion, on Tuesdays. But since Bhante Dhammajiva is not available, we shifted it to Thursday. We were discussing Atta Danda Sutta. Actually, we started this sutta last time. Now, we just started that. And just two verses we discussed last time. Is that correct, Vijita Aswa?
That's right.
Two verses were completed, and we can start with the third verse. Actually, some interesting points I felt in this sutta, where the Bodhisattva sort of arousing his urgency to be free by seeing the turmoil continuing in the world. Isn't it? Like, attadando bhayanjatan janang pasata medagam. Sangvegan kitta issami yatha sangvijitang maya. So basically, people are using weapons and they are killing each other. As a result of, there's a fear spreading throughout the world. And by seeing that, noticing that, there's an urgency aroused in him. It is not just the fear that I'll be killed, but how this whole folk, whole people are behaving in a way. So they don't have much, any kind of maybe self-respect or in person, any kind of compassion. But what they are more focused is very much establishing themselves and propagating their whatever propaganda, whatever their view, and killing each other and finding fault with others and say continuing and expanding their territory. So this kind of an approach basically shows that the kind of immature nature in the human mind, in a way. So they don't like to share with others. So instead they are continuing in a more destructive manner. So the Buddha says that while he was being a bodhisattva, so he felt an urgency to be free by seeing this kind of an attitude prevailing in the whole world. Then pandamanam pajan disva macche appodake yatha anyamanye hi vyaruddhe disva mam bhayam avisi. So that also verifies the same thing. And now he says that he also being fearful, because little water, there are fishes who are very much like struggling to survive, because the water is evaporating, water is decreasing, and only a little water is available. So now they are in a big trouble because they are going to die. So they are now pandamano, so they are struggling, they are wavering. And similarly, so now people are also trying to survive somehow. So others are having strong weapons, they have the nuclear power and all these things in terms of today. And anyamanye hi vyaruddhe, so they are completely having kind of a cruelty among themselves to each other. And by seeing this, bhayang ma bhavisi. Now this va mang bhayam avisi. So by seeing that, so the fear came to me. So I mean, it's quite relevant to today's context, in the today's world. So many areas overwhelmed by different kinds of wars, battles, and they are killing each other and bombing, and nuclear weapons are being used, missiles are used. I don't know, different types of weapons are available now. And they have the capacity to kill a mass-scale destruction. So the other countries, like the who don't have the missiles, who don't have the capacity to counteract, so they are under the mercy of those, the so-called developed countries, isn't it? Now there's a huge weaponizing, or we can say importing of weapons. Continuously happen now, particularly the Europe being threatened. They are being afraid what going on in the Russian side. So they are importing so much weapons from US. So that is the system. So US in a way, they are getting the benefit by selling weapons. Simple as that. And they know how to manipulate the situation so that the people are killing each other. They are being they feel afraid what's really going on, and they sell the weapons so that for their own countries think that after getting the weapons they can survive, they can safeguard themselves.
Big industry.
That's a huge industry. Actually, when this going on, I felt why Buddha mentioned in Samma Ajiva that don't do selling of weapons. So you can see the what a kind of foresight he has have. So when he is telling, don't do the selling of weapons. So you know this Micha Ajiva. So don't sell animals for killing, and don't sell arms, weapons. What else? The other things. Samma Ajiva. Don't sell poisons. Tamalatin, can't remember. Alcoholic, yeah, don't sell alcohol. Another thing is there. Slaves, yeah, don't sell slaves. So you can see, this when these are being implemented, what would happen to the society? So everybody is in a kind of a real tragedy, because people can't maintain their well-being, and people are being killing each other and stealing and sexual misconduct, weaponizing, poisoning, huge destruction. I don't know. If the fourth world war, right now the third world war, is the third going to happen? So I don't know who would survive, because through that level, mass destructive weapons are available. Still, these people didn't show their true power. They are still using some trajectory things, some minor things, but they haven't shown their true power. And when it happens, if such things are going to happen, so who would survive? And some believes that something has happened, similar thing has happened in the planet Mars. You know, planet. That's one indication they are telling. So the planet Mars was populated, but there's a huge nuclear bombing or destruction has happened, so the whole world being destroyed. But they were a kind of a very populated planet. That is one finding that they still didn't very much confirm that. But there are certain evidence that there was a kind of a civilization, and there were some amount of water and all these things. But due to this nuclear bombing, so everything was destroyed. The whole planet being destroyed. Actually, they are searching more about the planet Mars in order to recognize what would be the end of such a planet. So how the planet being destroyed. So the NASA and all the others. So they are trying to do various investigations so that they can find out what really has gone wrong in the planet Mars. So the same thing is possible here also in the planet Earth also. So and again, very interestingly, I can remember now Buddha at various occasions advised his son Rahula. So when he ordained at the age of 7, so at various occasions Buddha himself advised Venerable Rahula, Venerable Sariputta advised Venerable Rahula, and many others also have advised Venerable Rahula. And one interesting statement made by the Buddha to Venerable Rahula is that Ma Lokang Punaragami. Now, as a father, he is advising to his son, don't come to this world again. Ma Lokang Punaragami. So this is the, typically we think, okay, we are, so when someone is born, so we are being happy, we celebrate, we birthday parties, and we go to see, and we encourage that, we appreciate that. But now Buddha is telling, so don't come back. So dangerous. This is not a place for encourage living, or this is not a paradise. This is a kind of, I mean, this is not only the situation today. I mean, it is a situation far, far long ago also. The same situation. So the human realm is kind of a human history, as we discussed last time, is built with all these invasions, battles, wars, and killing each other, and all these things are there. So during that, so in such context, so the Buddha is arising. So, and he is giving a path, showing a path, a kind of a way out. And again, now Gotsaka, in certain suttas, that he actually come and ask, so that we want to live happily, we want to live peacefully, and not only the humans, even the gods, the celestial beings. So we want to live peacefully, but still no peace. They are killing each other. So what's the reason? So that's I think it's in the Sakkapanya Sutta in Digha Nikaya. So Buddha gave a series of kind of reasons, causes, why that has happened. So when Sakka is asking, so why all these people are, you know, in a hateful environment, hating each other, and Buddha say, I can't remember the first answer given. So we'll try to find it out. So likewise, I mean, this is even not unique to human realm. It seems even available in the celestial realm. Because they also are not completely free from defilements. So they also have certain amount of, say, defilements. And you know that there's a long time ago, there's a battle between the Sura and the Asura, the Devas and the Asuras. And so likewise, that's it seems that they are also not in a real kind of peaceful environment, but they also have the potential to come back to the human realm and even to go to the hell realm. So that is another thing. Now, Buddha say in one sutta, so it's like, say, a little dust taken to his fingertip. Only that amount will be reborn in the how to say a wholesome or sugati can in a, say, human realm or celestial realm or Brahma realm. So those are the sugatis, some favorable places to arrive, to have the birth. But all the others, the majority, the whole earth, he is taking as the other side. So he's asking, the amount on my fingertip, the soil available on my fingertip, and compared to the whole soil available in the whole earth, what is the large? It's obvious. It seems what is large in the whole earth. And Buddha says, so that is what's going to happen when you are dying, to the mass. To the mass population, so they simply go back to the hell realm. Very, very easy to understand in today's context. Now they are killing each other, and they are more like, crazy on the this different kinds of sensual desires and all these things. And it's quite obvious. I mean, after death, what's going to happen? It's not that difficult to understand. And the others, say, not only humans, say the devas, also they are infatuated with the various, say, sensual desires. So after their death, going back to hell realm, it's not that difficult to understand. So hell realm is very much like their home ground, so that their main home, Mahagedra, the main home. So they again and again return to that, very rarely come to human realm and kill each other, again return. So same thing. Miserable situation in a way. What to say? So this is the context in this sutta, giving us a kind of a dispassion, giving us kind of a disenchantment to this rebirth cycle in a way. So again and again coming back to this human realm, again and again going back to the celestial realms, and again returning back to the hell realm. So this is the wandering that we continue in the whole samsara. So by seeing, by understanding this situation, so if there's an urgency in us to be free, not to return back to to this world. So that's a very interesting message that Buddha is giving to Venerable Rahula. So don't come back, don't return. So in order to achieve that, that's also not easy. I mean, so what, at least you have to become an anagami to achieve that. Then you will be going up and up in the sense that that what we call as the pure abodes, Suddhavasa. So that will be their destination, not coming back to the human realm or even to the sensual realm, not even to the other places, the celestial realms. So they will be completely free from sensual desire. So they are going beyond to the sensual realm. And that is being called the, you know, the Oram Bhagya Sanyojana and Uddham Bhagya Sanyojana. So till we have Oram Bhagya Sanyojana, so they are very much like bindings to us, so that we are being bound to the sensual realm. So we can't go away. So we are being bound. They are like traps. They are like, say, chains. They are like, say, how to say, bondings, bondages. And we are being trapped as a result of those five lower fetters. When one is free from those lower fetters, then they can be released and go far away. But still bound with the higher fetters, Uddham Bhagya Sanyojana. When that is being overcome, then only one become an arahant. So such thing is there. So then we can get into the third verse. Samanta masaro loko disa sabba samerita Icha bhava namattano nadda sasing anosita. Samanta masaro loko. Samanta masaro loko disa sabba samerita Icha bhava namattano Icha bhava namattano nadda sasing anositang. So Sinhala meaning given like this: Lokaya nityavadiyeng nityatvadiyeng torahein. Okay, hat pasing nisarvya. So samanta asaro loko, that's being joined. Samanta asaro loko. So hat pasing asarui, asarivat, you can nisarui. So from everywhere there is no nothing substantial. There is nothing essence. So it's completely like barren land. Loko disa sabba samerita. Atpasin nisaruya hemadiku anichatadiyen salunahuya. Disa sabba samerita. So samerita means being shackled, or not really shackled. Being threatened, being trembled. Yeah, trembled. So the whole world being trembled as a result of the impermanent nature, unsatisfactory nature, non-self nature. So the whole world being trembled. Samerita. Icha bhava namattano. Tamahata trane patanuyem jati jaradiyen nomadunu tanak nudutumi. So even though we are looking for a safe place, a refuge, we can't find it. Icha bhava namattanu nadda sasing. Na adda sasing kene ka nadda sasing anositang. So Buddha says that we are trying to find a safe place, a refuge in this whole realm, but couldn't find it. So please, can you go ahead with the English translation?
The world was insubstantial all around. All the directions were in turmoil. Desiring an abode for myself, I did not see any place unoccupied.
Can you repeat, please?
Yes. The world was insubstantial all around.
Sorry, overwhelmed.
All around.
All around, right. All yes. Around.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. The world was insubstantial all around. All the directions were in turmoil. Desiring an abode for myself, I did not see any place unoccupied.
Very interesting. So basically, now actually I can remember some other monks also telling, so this is not a safe place to continue. So the human realm is not a safe refuge. So this is, again, it's not the destination that we need to desire for. And therefore, finding a refuge is kind of a mission that we need to achieve. So within this human realm, so you won't be able to find an entirely safe place. And finding a safe refuge is one of our missions, one of our goals. So in a way, we can say patirupadesa vasoscha, that is actually a blessing. So if you find a place which is suitable to live, and there is a good companionship, and there is no war going on, and the people are peaceful, helping each other, so that is a blessing. Patirupadesa vasoscha. But you can't guarantee that. So people, other people are having always weapons, and they are looking at you to invade you or to attack you. So that's always going on. It's like animal realm, isn't it? Very much like animal realm. So in this animal realm, also same thing, no? They can't live peacefully. Every time they have to be afraid, because don't know when a predator would come and attack, kill them. Now the human realm also very much the same situation. I mean, if you find a peaceful environment, helping each other, a real blessing. Mangala karana. But here Buddha says in this verse also that samantang asaro loko disa sabba samirita. So this whole, this whole world is asarito. Asaro. So there is nothing substantial, nothing worth attaching to. So that's a very interesting statement at another suttas. Sabbe dhamma nalang abhinivesaya. Sabbe dhamma nalang abhinivesaya. Nothing is worthy of attaching to. Nothing is worthy of adhering to. Holding into. So I mean, it includes everything. It includes everything. Nothing is worthy of holding into. Attaching to. Adhering to. So same thing, very much like, so nothing is substantial in the whole world, and everywhere, same thing. Iccha bhava namattanu nadda sasing anosita. So I was finding a kind of a refuge, but couldn't find it. So anything else you need to add?
Yes, I read the commentary, and it does kind of give more of a kind of a traditional commentary on this. I don't know if you want to hear a little bit of that. But your explanation just beautifully covers it, I think. But he does give some other more traditional things, I think. The world was insubstantial all around, the world of hell, the world of the animal realm, the world of the realm of afflicted spirits, the human world, the deva world, the world of aggregates, the world of elements, the world of the sense bases, this world, the world beyond, the Brahma world, the deva world, this world is insubstantial, substanceless, devoid of substance, without permanent substance, without substance of happiness, without substance of self, without anything permanent, stable, eternal, or not subject to change. As a reed, a lump of foam, a water bubble, a mirage, a plantain trunk, a magical illusion is insubstantial. Substanceless, devoid of substance, so is the world insubstantial, without anything permanent, stable, eternal, or not subject to change.
Very nice. Actually, yeah. that in the Penapindupama Sutta, Penapindupamang Lokang, Rupang, Vedana Bubulupama, Marichikupama Sanya, Sankara Kadalupama, Mayupamancha Vinyana. So the five aggregates, Buddha give a very striking similes. Pena Pindupamang Rupang. So this whole physical world is like a form. Form, you know, in the form. Like what you get in the bank of a river. So as a result of the waves hitting and hitting again the bank, so the form being generated. But nothing is there. So basically it's empty. just the it's filled with just air, even though it looks like a solid thing. Nothing is inside. It's just a form. So the whole physical world is something like that. So typically we think, okay, it is something substantial. It is solid. It is either liquid, so we can touch. It's tangible, and so we feel that everything is so solid. But even through the science now, they know, okay, everything is very much like matter of waves, and things are constantly changing, and nothing is substantial. So if we look deeply, so the whole physical world is something like that. Pena pinda upamang rupang, vedana bubbulupama. So the feelings, they are like water bubbles. So they quickly burst. When raindrops touches the water surface, there's a water bubble generated, and that water bubble quickly burst. So similarly, Buddha mentions all these different kinds of feelings are like water bubbles, which are subjected to bursting, subjected to become impermanent, become otherwise momentarily. And then Marijigopama Sanya. So all different kinds of perception, signs, marks, what appears in the mind are very much like a mirage. They are not real. They appear like real. So when you get a mental image, a kind of a perception to the mind, and you immediately attribute it to a person, attribute it to a place, attribute it to something, and it becomes something substantial. But really it is just a mirage. It's just a mental image, just a scar stain in the mind, very much like that. So, but unfortunately, ignorantly, we give value to that stain, we give value to that scar appearing in the mind, and ultimately we get trapped. We start thinking, we start proliferating, because we couldn't recognize immediately, though, this is just a scar appeared in the mind, this is just a sign appeared in the mind, this is a perception appeared in the mind, we can't understand. So we immediately attribute it, oh, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my father, this is my brother. So that mental image, we attribute a person. So we personify in a way. But what is available is just a mirage, it is not water. So Marichikupama Sanya. Then Sankhara Kadalupama. So these similes are really interesting and really striking. This Kadalupama means like a banana trunk. You know, if you consider a banana trunk, if you peel it out, what happens? What you get? You know the banana trees? Haven't seen? Assume that you peel it, expecting hard core, expecting hard wood, you won't get it. You think that there's a hard wood available, and you're peeling it out. Ultimately, nothing is there. The sankharas are the same. So, I mean, you imagine my emotion is so strong, my lust is so strong, I'm so angry, I'm so jealousy, I'm all these things are so and so, very strong emotions and all these things. But if you properly analyze them, properly see them, they all become blurred, they all become evaporated, nothing substantial. There is no heartwood, there is no inner core. So very, very interesting similes in this Pena Pindupama Sutta, how all the sankharas, even though they appear like something substantial, something solid, there is no heartwood, there is no inner core. And then the last one is Mayupamancha Vijnana. So this consciousness is very much like a magician. So magician is capable of showing various tricks. What is not available, he shows as available. And what is available, he shows as not available. So complete. So complete. So complete magic. So we fools clap, we fools laugh, and we fools get fooled by the magician. So our vijnana is also like that. So it creates all the different people, all the different places, and all the different importance. Attribute importance to many things, but it is fooling us, and we being fooled. We think it is something substantial, it is something very useful, it is very important. But ultimately, as we just say, so it's just nama rupa being projected onto the consciousness. like Bhante Katuni Ananda Mahathero mentioned, so very much like you are projected an image to a screen, like in a cinema. So when a cinema being projected to the screen, so it appears like it's very interesting and you being absorbed to that and it is so real. So they are laughing, they are kissing, they are dancing, and we also quite happy. Now they are crying, also we are also unhappy. So we are in the scene. We are completely trapped. And for us, it is something very, very important, something very useful, something very important. So we are completely in that. So that is the bhava, the state of bhava. So we are completely in that. But it is a projection. It's just a projection on a screen. So if you have that understanding, just a cinema, just a film, just a fiction, but not something real. So if we can understand that, then we completely, take out, step back. And being dispassionate about what's really going on, rather than being delighted by that. So typically what happens is, due to all these fabrications, all these fictions, and we being delighted and we are happy, we are clapping and laughing and crying, and all these things are there because we are completely trapped in that. But if we are able to insert some amount of wisdom to that, then it's just a fiction. So we can't be further happy or unhappy or cry or laugh, because we know it's just a illusion, what the magician is showing. So it's just a magic. So likewise, so these five similes are very, very interesting. And every time actually Buddha highlights this asaro. These terms are very interesting. Actually, let me give a little bit of Pali so that we are emphasizing it. So for example, into this form, the aggregate of form, Buddha mentioned, tasathang pasato nijhayato yoniso upaparikkato rittakanyeva khayaya tuchakanyeva khayaya asarakanyeva khayaya kinghisya bhikkave pena pindo saro. So the English translation is going like this. A bhikkhu inspects it, ponders it, and carefully investigates it, and it would appear to him to be void, hollow, insubstantial. For what substance could there be in form? And similarly, Buddha mentioned to the feelings, a bhikkhu inspects it, ponders it, and carefully investigates it, and it would appear to him to be void, hollow, insubstantial. For what substance could there be in feeling? Similarly, he mentioned a bhikkhu inspects it, ponders it, and carefully investigates it, and it would appear to him to be void, hollow, insubstantial. For what substance could there be in perception? So likewise, for all the aggregates, Buddha emphasized nothing substantial. It is asara. So there is no essence, there is no inner core, there is no hard matter or hard wood. They appear like really beautiful, really important, really substantial. But when we properly see, nothing is there. So, Pena Pindupama Sutta, in the connected discourses, Sanyukta Nikaya, in Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation, connected discourses of the Buddha, page number 951. It's termed as a lump of form. A lump of form. F-O-A-M. F-O-A-M. So very interesting sutta. So anyone else like to contribute before we go to the next verse? Tim, you have anything to say? Any medical thing? Okay, then we can shift to the next verse.
For us, the impermanence is a big problem.
When things are but on the other hand, since it is impermanent only, you have the cure also. After it's cured, you need to make it permanent, right?
Yeah.
permanent cure. So next verse is going like this. Osanetveva vyaruddhe diswa me arati ahu atetta sallang addakhin duddasang hade nisitang. Osanetveva vyaruddhe diswa me arati ahu atetta sallang addakhin duddasang hade nisitang. 942 single translation. Yali yavunadinge avasanhime ජරාදිය සමග ප්‍රතිරුද්ධ වූ සත්‍යයන් දැක මට අරතිය උපන. අනතුරුව ඒ සත්‍යයන් කෙරෙහි වූ දුකසේ දැක්ක යුතු සිත ඇසුරු කළ රාගානුෂයාදී සප්තවිධ ශල්‍යයන් දුටිමි. ඕසේනත්වේව ව්‍යාරුද්ධේ දිස්වාමේ අරතිය අහු. So basically, so he is seeing the elders, he is seeing the old people and who are inflicted with various diseases, and by seeing that kind of a arati means kind of, you know, coming back. So you step back, you feel disgusted. And then atetta sallang addakkin duddasang hadaya nisitang. Anaturu e satyan kerehi vu dukase dakkayutu සිත ඇසුරු කළ රාගානුෂයාදී ශල්‍යයන් දිටිමි. So basically now he penetrates to the level that he see what kind of darts, salla, darts being hit to their hearts. So they are basically going through this jati jara, marana. So they are suffering in a way. And now Buddha says, so I have seen the kind of the dart that they go through as a result of their defilements. So you can tell the English what Bhikkhu Bodhi translates.
Yes, Bhante. Having seen those hostile at the end, discontent came upon me. Then I saw the dart here, hard to see, nestled in the heart.
Hard to see?
Hard to see. Yeah.
And who?
Nestled in the heart.
Nestled means?
Yes, nest like a nest, kind of nested in the heart.
I see. So it is not only that Buddha see that their outer appearance, that they are now, you know, old and being diseased, and have gone through the last stages of the life. So that's the outer appearance. That's also very much like. What's that term, arati? I feel disappointed, or what's that? Can you repeat?
Discontent came upon
discontent,
me.
Discontent, yeah, discontent. Mm-hmm. Discontent came upon me, and not only he see that, and he see how their hearts being stricken, heart being sort of burned with various defilements as well, isn't it? So the last term, last statement. Atetta sallang addakhin.
I saw the dart here. I saw the dart here, hard to see, nestled in the heart.
So in those people, even though now they are going through a lot of suffering, so their hearts also burning, and they are being hit by a dart. In a way, we can say that's the dart sutta. You know, salla sutta, where when the bodily suffering is going on, so they add to it as another's mental suffering as well. So that is the theme in the Dart Sutta, in the Salla Sutta. So Buddha says there is when there is a kind of a bodily suffering available, unknowingly we add another suffering, so that is the mental part. So we create another suffering. It happened to me, so why it is happening to me, why I am suffering, why poor me, and also crying and, you know, pleading and asking the reason and blaming others. So that is the mental suffering. So now bodily suffering is there, that is one thing. But on top of the bodily suffering, we add another part, so that is the mental suffering. So that's a very interesting sutta, Tim. It's called Dart Sutta, Salla Sutta. So Buddha highlights that. One important thing of the practitioner is to avoid that mental part, to minimize that mental suffering. So it is unavoidable in the sense of the the physical suffering. So we all may have to go through the physical suffering because that is unavoidable. But how to avoid the mental part? So that is one interesting statement that Buddha makes. And he asks from the monks, now, even a noble person gets sick. Even a noble person dies. He also gets old. And he also physically suffers. And even a worldly person, say they also get old, get sick, they also die. So then what's the difference? Both are suffering. And then monks say, Bhante, we don't know, please give us the answer. Then we'll understand. So then Buddha say, when a worldly person is going through sickness, going through this old age, going through any kind of suffering, so they add another suffering on top of that. So that is a mental suffering. It's very much like when a person being hit by a dart, another dart is hit at the same place. Huge amount of suffering. So you have doubled or tripled suffering. Because at the same place you hit by another arrow, another dart. But on the other hand, Buddha say a noble person, he keep it just to the level of the physical suffering. So he know, okay, this is just a physical suffering. I should not add a mental part to it. So that's the important thing. So here I feel, so Buddha say, now these people are suffering, so they are at their last stage. They are now going through their old age and they are sick. And at the same time, I see their hearts being hit by the second dart. That's the mental part. Atitta sallang addakhin, duddhasang hadaya nisitang. So the heart is associated with the second dart. That this dart, which I saw. So they are suffering. They are suffering. Why it happened to me? My children didn't come to me. These doctors didn't properly treat me. And this health system is not good. This health insurance is not good. Why it happened to me? They are crying and, you know, despair, complete disappointed and ultimately even depressed. Then they come to Mr. Tim. Please, doctor, please help me. Yeah,
I was thinking this is close to the formula one bhikkhu gave, that suffering is pain times resistance. So, and if your resistance is zero, if you multiplicate something with zero. It's always zero. So, yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's why I mean the physical suffering we can't actually avoid, but if we can just keep it aside, keep it as it is, without adding a mental part to it, then at least we can peacefully go through it. But the moment that we add a mental part, so it becomes aggravated, it becomes so intense, unbearable. So even the Buddha has gone through a lot of suffering. You know, even the Arahants have gone through a lot of suffering. So, you know, Buddha being attacked when by Venerable Devadatta when he put a stone to him. And one part of it hit his leg. And he bared that. He bored that, right? Bored. So basically, and it is not the humans actually come and praise the Buddha. So devas come and praise the Buddha. You are like a tusker. That you are so enduring this huge pain. So that's a serious pain that you are going through, but you are like a tusker, you are enduring that. So likewise, I mean, it is not that Buddha didn't go through any physical suffering. And certain suttas like Seka Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya, so he go to ceremonially open one of the newly built assembly hall. It was built by the Sakyans. And they invite Buddha and the Sangha to come and deliver the first sermon because it's an auspicious thing and this is built as an assembly hall for the Sakyans. Mm-hmm. Now Buddha accept the invitation and he and the Sangha arrive there. And after Buddha delivering a discourse, and he got a, you know, back pain. Now what he asks is, Ananda, just fold the robe here. I want to take a rest. Now you got to preach. Now, Venerable Ananda is the one preaching Seka Sutta while Buddha is having a rest. It's very interesting. I'm very, in a way, very human. You know, it is not that he is not a superman. He goes through a lot of suffering, and he admits that the crowd is his relations, Sakyans, the Sakyan clan. So they just offered the assembly hall. And Buddha, in front of everybody, he's taking a rest because he got a back pain. And now Venerable Ananda is giving a very interesting sermon, that is a Seka Sutta. And after it is delivered, Buddha prays Venerable Ananda. It's really beautiful. I mean, very, very human and very, you know, very realistic. So how Buddha went through a lot of suffering, and he kept it just to the physical level and managed it. Okay. Any other comments? You have anything for that? Any comments in the commentary?
Just
that verse?
There's just a small bit here. Having seen those hostile at the end, and that commentary is, old age ends all youth, illness ends all health, health ends all life, pain ends all pleasure. So it seems like he's saying, so the old age, you know, having seen those hostile at the end, so when you get to the end of whatever experience you're having, whether you think it's good, but it always ends in, it ends. So illness ends in health.
Reading the last, next one or the first one?
We're on 30, let's see, 30, no, we're doing 38 right now. Having seen those hostile at the end, discontent came upon me.
Aratiyahu, yes.
Having seen those hostile in the end, discontent came upon me. Having seen beings with stricken minds still hostile, even at the end of youth, and so forth, when old age and so forth, the end maker, the destroyer, has arrived. Discontent came upon me. I then saw the dart here, the dart of lust, and so forth, in those beings. Nestled in the heart, settled in the mind, is what he says. Nestled in the heart, it's the dart is settled in our mind. That's where our discontent.
No, that is the next verse, actually. That is the next verse, 943.
We're on, having seen those hostile at the end, discontent came upon me.
Yeah, so that is the, no. First one, actually, he see how people are being stricken by the, disease, the sickness, illness, old age. So their heart being still burned by the dart. So they are still suffering. The mental suffering is also there.
So you went on to the verse after that?
No, I didn't yet.
Okay.
So the next verse is going like this. Yena sallena otinno disa sabba vidhavati tameva sallam abbuiha na dhavati na siddati. Now Buddha gives an alternative. Now when ragadi yam shallekin viduna ladava lada sattva dusirit padun dukkhadi hemadigata dive nam ema shallya udurapiya hemadigata ha gati adira nodive. Chaturoge hit nogale. So now Buddha say, now when all these things are happening, so people are going to this end, that end, they're reborn in the hell realm, they're reborn in the human realm, they're reborn in the celestial realm. This is like wandering. They are running here and there. Disa sabba vidhavati. So to various directions they are running. Because siena sallena otinno, they are being stricken by that suffering. Tameva sallam abbiha. So now I have extracted that suffering. Sorry, the dart. Nadhavati nasidati. So I am not running. And I am not sidati. I am not submerging. So I am free. So basically, so he found a solution. And as a result of that, now he no more runs. He no more goes to another birth. From human realm to a hell realm to a human birth to a celestial birth, again human birth. So this is a kind of a running from one place to another place, a constant running. But after Buddha's realization, so no more running. So he found the solution, and he's still no running. And again, he is not being carried away by various floods, the floods of various defilements, you know, chaturoga, four kinds of floods. That is also not there. So he is nasidatis, he is not submerging. He, you know, that when flood happens, you're being, what happened? You're being carried away by the flood, or you're being immersed by the flood, by the water. So that is also not going to happen, because that floods are being completely evaporated, floods are being abandoned. So his mind is completely free from defilements. So the first verse actually say about the worldly beings who being old, being aged and decay and going through sickness, physical sickness, their heart also being overwhelmed by the unhappiness, crying, worrying, etc. And I saw that they are running here and there to this world, to that world, to this realm, to the other realm. But I have extracted the that dart. Now I am not running. I am not going to run anymore. And I am not going to immerse anymore. I am free. Very interesting. So can you repeat the English translation of that second verse? Oh, you can repeat the both actually. Then it will be more interesting.
Okay, yes, Bhante. So having seen the hostile at the end, discontent came upon me. Having seen the hostile at the end, discontent came upon me. Then I saw the dart here, hard to see, nestled in the heart. When one is struck by the dart, one runs astray in all directions. But having drawn out the dart, one does not run, does not sink.
Yeah. So if you are able to draw out the dart, extract the dart, no more running. No more running to another birth. So this is the last birth. You are done. So you have completely extracted the dart and no more burning in your heart. So the heart does not associate any suffering. Even though the body is going through a lot of suffering, it's unavoidable. You are sick now, you are old now, you are aged, you are decaying, can't help. But heart is just without suffering. That's very interesting. So you are, in a way, your mind is not suffering. You are enduring that physical pain. You are free from mental suffering, and you are no more coming to rebirth. So this is the last birth. Very interesting. Shall we go to the next one also? Yeah, sure. Yes.
I was just going to say that some prior teachers that I've had have talked about the, you know, when the Buddha speaks of in this next life, when we come to the next, you know, no more rebirths and so forth. And that's come up several times today where you're speaking of in the very first verse or the very first verses that we covered about how, you know, being reborn in the hell realm or in the animal realm or so forth, that, you know, let's not do that. Let's stop this rebirth and round of suffering. It's not worth it. I've also heard people teach in a way that they're saying, you know, that Buddha could also have been speaking metaphorically about this present life, you know, how we continually re-enter suffering by choosing to, by clinging to things. But actually we could stop right here and be in an eternal kind of place of, like, if you become an arhant, but even just a regular person could choose not to go down that road anymore. Don't it's leading to suffering. We tend to do things over and over again that cause suffering. And so I just wanted to bring that up as like another way we could look at it. Mm-hmm. And I wondered what you think about that.
Yeah, that is also there, you know, in the Patisamuppada, so when you attain bhava, the state of bhava, kind of an existence, so it can be projected to a large scale or you can take it to the minimal scale. Say, within this life also we attain something. We want something, we crave for something and then we become that. Then we are reborn into a new state. So you are in a different world. You lost the present moment, you lost the present context and you are mentally born into a new state. So that's the bubble state, the state of existence, becoming process. So, I mean, in order to attain the Nibbana, so you need to stop that becoming process. So we should avoid the becoming process and just be without making new formations. So you are trying to just be, just calm down, just relax. And there is no inclination towards the next moment. There is no desire for a next moment. There is no expectation for a new state. But you are completely satisfied in the existing state, the present state. So then the bhava nirodho. So the next state, that becoming process has stopped. That bhava tanha has stopped. So the desire to become has, I'm not telling completely off, but at least for some time, it's not operating. So the bhava tanha has certainly, to a certain extent, subsided. So your mind is now peaceful and you don't have that inner inclination, kind of an urgency going after for something. I need that, I want him, I want her. You know, that kind of a urgency, that kind of a yearning that, you want this. That's the present moment you are unhappy. Present moment you are unsatisfactory. But the moment you are able to overcome that desire, the bhava tanha, the desire to become, so you're being completely satisfied at this right moment, at this present moment. So if you are able to continue that kind of an attitude within the mind, so basically we are overcoming the tanha, overcoming or attacking the tanha. We are sort of evaporating the tanha. So ultimately the same process will help you to stop the next birth also. Because next birth is a, you know, kind of a superimposition or a multitude of the same process being further highlighted. Even at the death, you are not going to stop. Even at the death, you want something more. I want to live, I want next birth, I want to do this, I want to do that. I have a lot of unfinished business. I want to do that. So even at the death, you cling to something, you grasp another thing, and you are reborn. Based upon your karma and your that craving, that pulling, that momentum that you are carrying on, you pull another thing. You hold another thing. You are reborn. But assume as a training, if we are continuing our practice, that we are not allowing that becoming process. And we are simply trying to be in the present moment and as much as possible happy, satisfied, contented, not allowing mind to take us to a ride, not take us our mind to take us to a next a becoming process, just be, just happy, quiet. So if that process is continuing, then slowly, those defilements, the tanha craving is slowly abandoned. Yeah, it has some valid argument. Yeah. Okay, then we'll wind up here. Exactly 1 hour. So I think that's enough for today. We have completed 3 verses and a few more verses are there. And in a way, very interesting sutta this is. And fairly deep and very, very interesting way of looking at the life. So first he say, okay, I'm completely disgusted, unhappy, a fear arousing in me because the world is in a turmoil. They're killing each other. Wars are going on. And even though these people come to their last stage, still they are suffering. There's a huge amount of suffering in their hearts. So now I was able to recognize that suffering. I was able to extract that dart. And those people who are able to extract that dart, they are no more going to run. They are no more subject to this kind of a suffering. So they are released. Okay, so I invite Venerable Dhamma Vijitha to conduct the sharing of merits.
Sadhu, 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 Bhante. Thank you, and thank you for everybody participating, and we would like to give these merits to of this teaching and of our meeting today to all beings in need of merit, and we'll, to all beings, and we'll recite the traditional verses.